to much more important things, because this is Will's week, and if you are contemplating dying anytime soon, which you probably haven't been, but you know what? Here's the top tip. You're going to. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but sometime you're definitely going to die, because it's one of the facts of life. And the sadness is a lot of folk pass on, and then they leave a huge mess in their wake because they haven't prepared for the eventuality. And some people say, well, you know what, they'll sort it out. Doesn't matter. I'm gone. What do I care? Well, here is the thing. Sometimes the finest act of love that you can leave in terms of a legacy is just to have your affairs in order. And a will is a huge part of that, because it prevents so much heartache and fighting and sadness and family dissolution as a result of an unprepared situation. Will's Week is a good reminder of that, and we've got in studio an expert on the subject. His name is Sean Morrow. Hello, Sean.
Hi there, Dave. Danke schön.
Lovely to have you in the studio, my friend. You're no stranger to Ballito, and in fact, you've been on the station before. Morrow Attorneys is down in the Ballito Village, and you've got a trust firm that does very, very exciting financial stuff. That's in right. Richards Bay. So you really know what is, I suppose, the fundamentals, or what are the fundamentals of, and the importance of putting together a will. Let's start at the top. What is a last will and testament?
Well, in simple terms, it's basically a document signed by someone to say what their wishes are, what will happen to their assets when they die. But in essence, it's a little bit more than that. It gives those left behind a bit of confidence as to what the testator wanted to do, who he wanted to leave it to, but there's other appointment aspects, you know, such as who's the executor, who he's trusting with what'll happen, and who's going to manage the affairs. It doesn't just automatically transition to the spouse or to the kids. Someone has to manage the process, and that will tells the family, listen, I've got someone else who can take over the affairs. You don't have to worry about it.
And of course, sometimes the tendency is to appoint your eldest son or your very clever daughter as executor. It happened to me, by the way. That's why I know. And it's not easy. I had to go twice to the master of the thing in Johannesburg.
And was that's where all the gray hair came from.
I used to have gray hair the first time, and then the second time it all disappeared. That's why. No, I understand entirely why it is so important to have a professional with the right systems in place. Because if you don't, boy, you leave your son and heir, in my case, with a huge drama that I really didn't want, but there it is.
Well, at the end of the day, there's a bit of a misconception about that executor appointment, and it's something we're trying to get across, you know, not just in virtue of the Wills Week, but the importance of having a will is understanding that appointing a family member as an executor doesn't allow for the administration to be done by them. There's a regulation that says only an attorney, an accountant, or a trust company
exactly.
that can do it.
So you've got to go that route
anyway. So, you know, get to know someone beforehand, build up a trust relationship, let them understand your wishes, and, you know, money changes people. So after you're gone, your kids are going to fight over it. They're going to squabble over the things. They're going to say, this is mine. Dad promised it to me, or I'm supposed to get the house. You're supposed to get the farm. Whatever it might be. At least having your attorney on your side, he can affirm at least what the intentions were.
But yeah, and it's a bit of a neutral third party, which is so important when, you know, these situations do become fraught, or can be.
That's right. And obviously, he's a professional. He's not just professional by title. He's got the experience in doing it. He's got relationships with the Master of the High Court, and he knows all the stakeholders. So he can go there and fight your battles for you. Going as a layperson to the Master of the High Court is a nightmare. You know, unfortunately, our government institutions are designed well, but in practice they don't run so slick. So getting someone who knows people there, it's all about relationships. And, you know, that's what our firm's about. It's about relationships. It's not about promising delivery, over-promise, under-deliver. It's more about knowing the right people and treating them with respect, and you can get things done better.
Now, one often hears that in order for a will to be valid, all you have to do is have it signed and you have to have it witnessed. You can write it on a piece of paper. How legal is that?
Well, part of that's true, or that's only partly true. The first aspect is that you need to have competent witnesses to sign. So for them to be competent, they need to be over the age of 14. And that's, you know, I mean, it goes without saying, you're not going to get your 12-year-old to sign your witness on your will. But, you know, convenience prevails. There's COVID out there. Who do you get to sign as an adult witness or a competent witness? And then obviously you need to be of sound mind when you sign.
Do they ever interrogate who the witnesses are?
Yeah, very much so. But what we need to remember is that that witness doesn't even need to know what's in the will. They just need to attest the fact that, that the testator themselves actually signed the document. And a lot of witnesses don't want to come forward because they don't want to divulge what they know about the will, but all they're doing is they're confirming who the testator was.
Okay, so it's not, you're not confirming the contents.
No.
Just simply the fact that there is one and you know that you've seen it.
That's right.
Okay. Now, who then can draft a will? Can anyone draft a will?
Technically, look, that question is a multifaceted question, and in essence, anyone who has an asset base can draft a will. There's no point in someone who doesn't have anything to pass over of value, or rather of legal value and of certain thresholds to pass over. So what I mean by that is that you're over the age of 14, you can draft a will, but if you don't have any assets, there's no point in doing it. And then asset thresholds of 50,000 or less, there's no point because you don't need to go via the magistrate's court or the master anyway.
Okay. So that whole thing back in the day when you were conscripted into the
military.
Oh, yeah. And you had to then have a will. I mean, that was the deal. So that was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary to a certain extent, but I think it created a sense of discipline and duty. And what we're missing today is the necessity in people's minds to have a will in place. So there's so much awareness created around having a will in place and having future planning, even financial future planning, and the implications of taxation and retirement funding. And the aspect is so that you can have your things in order. You started this interview on the basis of it's a good thing to leave a house in order for those behind because you can't fix it after the fact. And being conscripted and having your will in place is around setting some organizational skills into the community, which we need. We see too many estates where there's no will and then there's a mess. And like you said, the mess is something that takes longer to fix or to clean up than it did to set it in disarray anyway.
So obviously it would, first prize is to have a will drafted by someone that is familiar with these things.
Yes, of course.
Is it expensive?
No. Comparatively, our rate is $895 for a will, for a single will. So if you come to me as an individual to have your will, it's $895 plus VAT. I'm pretty
sure. And then do you become the...
Not necessarily. The executive, no. They can still appoint a family member. They can appoint an accountant. They can appoint anyone else.
Because some attorneys say, I will give you a will free, but then we're the executive.
Well, that is it's a good catch. I wouldn't necessarily advocate that. I would expect it to be a trust relationship. I don't think that attorneys or trust companies should bait their clients, because at the end of the day, you don't just have a will to do, you have the administration of the estate, which is a very complex process. And it's not just that the attorney needs to be trusted, but the trust relationship should go both ways. Mm. You know, there's many times that we have a deceased estate where not all of the information was divulged because they're scared of implications. They don't want to tell us about a second wife. Unfortunately, that does happen.
Does it?
We've got the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, so it happens quite a lot. We're in KZN. So sometimes we deal with multiple wives, multiple families, and you know it's all legitimate and above board, but it's a complexity in terms of the administration. And that's why that trust relationship is important, you know, full disclosure, transparency. Otherwise, we cannot do our job properly.
Mm. Okay, well, it makes sense. What happens if anyone dies without a will?
So the government has implemented an act. It's the Interstate Succession Act, and you know, a lot of people are familiar with it. At some point, they deal with a family member that's died, and there's no will, so they are aware of it. The problem in it is that it was created in 1987, and it has had limited development over the years. So it creates a lot of problems in that it hasn't catered for certain anomalies in family structures. It has thresholds, financial thresholds, where, for example, a wife will get a 250,000 rand value or a child share, whichever is greater, and she'll share the asset base with a child. So a topical example would be a 3 million rand property. The husband will die, the married in community of property, the wife will get half because of her community of property. The other half is the husband's. So that 1.5 million rand value of that house needs to be divided between that wife and the children. If they're minor children, then they will also get that share in the property. So if there's two children and a wife, each child gets a 500,000 rand value share of that property. And that wife cannot now sell that property at her will. If she can't afford the rates and taxes or the upkeep of the property, she can't sell it without the Master of the High Court's consent, because they protect the minor child. So, where if there was a will, that could have been avoided.
So for very good reasons, it would make a lot of sense to simply do the right thing and go and visit a competent attorney. In the case of my very special guest, Sean Morrow, he's in Belito, or the company certainly is, and for $8.95, problem solved.
And Will's Week ends tomorrow. It's free of charge during Will's Week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So $8.95 gone.
Yeah. Come and see us.
What a bargain.
And, you know, my analogy is food for thought. It'll take you less than an hour of your whole life to come and consult and draft a will, and that's less time than it takes for you to debate a meal for the day. For what you can eat for that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now if you've got a will, but it's pretty old. I mean, like, it was drafted 20 years ago, and things might have changed since then. Is it a good idea to maybe just...
So I've got a saying. A will has to be like Castle Lager. It has to stand the test of time. And the way that we draft wills is we try to simplify it in such a way that no matter what happens to your asset portfolio or your family base, that your will be generically applied. It doesn't make it a generic will, but it's intelligently drafted. We've had to become specialists in the drafting of wills so that you don't need to keep on changing it every time something happens.
Wow. Now, obviously, if you've just got one day left of Will's Week, and that's tomorrow, you want to get on quickly and book an appointment with Sean Morrow. Sean, I presume you are taking appointments for this occasion.
Of course.
And can you give us a contact? I've got a contact number. May I? It doesn't look like a Belito number, though.
I've got a 032 number if you
yes, give us that one.
If that's local enough.
Yeah.
032-586-0562. That's 032-586-0562. We dine in the village. We are next to Belito Accommodation, which I think has been there for about 38 years. They are the granny in town. Forgive me for saying that, but they are tried and tested. So we're right next door to them.
Well, Innes will love you calling him a granny.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? He's here just now.
He'll be next door just now, right at my office. We're across the road from Concha. So if you don't know those areas, Concha's the place to be.
And the village is really looking good these days. So yeah. I'm sure that there'll be a flock of people headed your way.
Definitely.
If you couldn't get that number down, it's very simple. Remember the old Shakespearean quote, the tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
You'll never forget me on the morrow.
Morrow. There it is. Sean Morrow, our very special guest for Will's Week. Thanks for dropping by. I really appreciate that. It makes a lot of sense. And I think I will have to make an appointment myself because...
Rush on down.
You know what? We tend to avoid these things because it's kind of morbid. I'm thinking, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, but
now... You're courting death and all that. But you're not. You're actually not. You're looking after life, and that's important.
I have to say that this community, the Belito community, is quite organized. You know, we do wills and estates literally from all around the country. We've done from Cape Town and from Nelspruit and from Joburg and Pretoria. And I've had so many of the ladies that are in the retirement kind of age group that come to me with a file and they say, well, my husband's passed. There's this, there's that, there's this. We don't have to look for anything. We don't have to want for anything. So, it is at least, I would say, a props to this community. But the more we can enhance on it, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, there it is. Sean, nice chatting, and don't be a stranger. Let's keep up the conversation because these things are important. We will chat again in the fullness of time, and I might be around tomorrow.
Thanks, Dave.
You're tuned to The Afternoon Show on 88FM. The Afternoon Show brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Belito. Here's James Stewart.